Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AM Live. This is Vance Rogers, and as always, today we have an exciting call, and I don't know if it's a little bit of Ethiopian goodness that I just partake of, but I'm tremendously excited for today because of several factors, and I think the biggest one is I get to be blessed, or we get to be blessed with two friends of mine who I don't necessarily would consider themselves experts on the subject of heart healthy issues. However, I think we're going to have a lively conversation and going to have some fun. Before we jump on into things, I do want to remind everybody that when we're finished talking with Dr. Ted Lehman and Ron Jennings about heart healthy issues and how NECHEM solutions can really make a difference, I'm going to, as we usually do, open up the line. And part two of Saturday AM Live is always the announcements and then kind of open format, people asking questions, that kind of stuff. And then something we did last week that I'd like to continue doing for those of you that tune in every week or are regular listeners via the recorded website, kind of a, I don't know how you describe it, but a posting, kind of a form, and I'll discuss this more. But if you're listening to the recording and you don't ever catch the announcements, this could be your ticket for NECHEM solutions that are no longer available, that were discontinued, that that may be still in demand, that, you know, you never know, you come across somebody, and I'm talking like, oh my goodness, like, for example, something that was just discontinued because we've got a newer version of it that's probably going to be introduced at the World Convention, is the biaxial power mic. There's still people out there that desperately need those but can't get them from NECHEM. And if you happen to have one of these that's new or like new, somebody's willing to purchase it off the record, so without the warranty to back it up, then we want to make kind of a form available to make that happen, and I'll explain how to do that. But something that we did it last week, we've done it over the past few months, and it's worked out relatively well, connecting people with other people who need to do it. I don't want to put it in print. I don't want to put it on email. I just want to keep it, you know, very short and sweet and, you know, tidy. So anyways, that's one of the things we'll cover, along with a bunch of other stuff that we'll go into. So enough of that. Let me just open up things right quick. And first of all, Ted, do I have you? How about Ron? Do I have Ron?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, we've got Ron, a.k.a. Mater, and we're listening for Dr. Ted, who I need to hit star 6 if he hasn't done that. It sounds like you're there, Ted, but it sounds like you're muted or muffled for some reason.
There
we go. Okay, let me just run through some things that I was reading this week about where we are in our culture today, in these statistics. Sorry for our Canadian friends, but these just simply focus in on what's going on in the U.S. And this is right out of the CDC, and anybody can look this up. It's quite fascinating to see where we are as a culture today as far as heart disease. And these stats are a few years old, from 2009. Well, actually, some of them are even more current than that. More than half of the deaths in the U.S. Among men were because of heart disease. Every year, about 600,000, that's one out of every four deaths. So 25% of our deaths are because of heart disease. Coronary heart disease is the number one most common, 385,000. Basically, if you break it down, in the U.S., every 34 seconds, somebody has a heart attack, and every minute somebody in the United States dies from a heart-related event. Risk factors, the biggest one, and these are common things, diabetes, overweight and obesity, poor diet, physical inactivity, and rounding out the top five, excessive alcohol use. There was one other stat here that I want to find that was really quite interesting. Now I can't find it. But the amount of money, that's the one I was trying to find. Oh, there it is. Coronary heart disease alone costs the United States $108.9 billion a year. This includes the cost of healthcare services, medications, and lost productivity. So over $100 billion a year we are spending as a nation in the U.S. Dealing with heart disease. And both Ron and Ted have agreed to share kind of their experience with what they've encountered. And I don't know if you guys would say, yep, we're in that heart disease category, or two totally different situations. Let's kick it off with Ron, if you don't mind. Ron, coming to us this morning from South Carolina. You've had a good 3-4 hours on us out here on the West Coast to get bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Ron, share your story, your journey with heart-related issues, and then we'll bounce things over to Dr. Ted.
Well, my heart problem started way back in 1995. I had a first heart attack, and after that, I had seven more.
Seven?
So a total of 8 heart attacks since 95. And my the biggest year, I guess, I get, well, let me say, 2 years was 06. I had 4 heart attacks, 2 in February and 2 in May. And then in 2013, I had open heart surgery. And in July, and then 4 months later, I had had to have a stent put in one of the places where they put the bypass surgery.
Okay, Ron, I out of curiosity, because I feel like I know some of the answers to these questions, but just to kind of review, history in your family with heart issues?
My grandfather on my mother's side had died from a heart attack at 56 years old. My brother that's passed away in 09 at 59 years old, he had congestive heart failure. My mother died at 88 years old in 09 with congestive heart failure. And that's basically all the heart problems in my family.
And you are how young today?
I am 68.
Okay. Okay. And being that you're part of the wonderful southern states, I think we can tag South Carolina in there. One of the benefits of living in the South is all the wonderful food that that we partake of when we're in that part of that culture. What did they tell you after you had your first 1, 2, 3 that you should be doing differently to prevent, or did the medical community tell you to do anything differently?
Well, I'm exercising more for one thing, and I don't eat as much fried food as I used to, because, you know, it's hard to cut back on good old southern fried chicken. And of course, I love my breakfast, but I had to cut back on it some. And the meal replacement that we have has really helped on that. And exercising, I really increased my exercising. I walk 1 to 2 miles 3 or 4 times a day. A week,
okay.
I mean. Yeah, a week. And so, and the Nikan Nutritionals has really, really helped. When I had that massive, almost 100% blockage on my artery in February of 06, my cardiologist met me at the emergency room in the hospital, and he told me if I hadn't, he knows enough about my nutritionals, the Nikan Nutritionals, and he has seen such an improvement in my overall health in the last 10 years or so, that he told me if I hadn't been on the nutritionals like I was doing, it would probably kill me when I had the almost 100% blockage. And I was driving my truck when that happened and had to call 911 and waited on the ambulance. homeless got there.
You know, Ron, if I'm doing the math in my head, you were in your 40s back in 95 when you experienced your first heart attack. Okay. And I think the reason for me, I came, and I never read the obituaries, but I was trying to find a friend of mine whose brother was had supposed to be passed away or coming up on that, and I was trying to find out because I couldn't get a hold of my friend. And so I totally, for the first time ever, I pulled up the obituaries for our area of Portland, Oregon, and I was reading just down through them, and I found a young man who was 37, and died of a heart attack. And I thought to myself, what is going on that you could pass away at age 37 of a heart attack? And then you start reading a little bit more, and you start going, wait a second, okay, some of this is not hereditary. This is definitely diet and lifestyle and other habits and whatnot. And it described a little bit about this gentleman in that. And I'm not trying to minimize it at all. It alarmed me. And that's when I called Ron and I called Ted and I said, let's talk about this from two gentlemen that have experienced this. And before I throw the call over to Dr. Ted real quick, I want to encourage people that it's very, very simple, not only with the solutions that NECAN has provided us to really, really take an aggressive attack, and not to play on that word, but to go against the grain and turn things around, just as what Ron has said, you know, something as simple as exercise, and that's what the CDC recommends on their site as far as 3 to 4 10-minute brisk walks a day. They even say that, just getting things moving again. And the progesterol, I'm not going to make a medical claim because I'm not a doctor. Every single person that we have, that I've heard the stories, anything with cardiovascular, whether it be blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol issues, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But every single person that I know that we've personally introduced to the progesterol, and the other stories I've read across North America from the folks that are using it, and even into Europe now, the results are just astounding. So I can't recommend that enough, as well as all the other solutions that we have. And then also the other thing too, and I just want to throw this in, is we got to educate ourselves. The term heart healthy is becoming more and more common, and I really, really thank people like former President Bill Clinton, who has made a drastic change and has become literally a spokesperson for heart healthy issues. What does that mean to eat heart healthy? A lot of people say, well, I'm going to, as Ron has alluded, I'm going to cut back on my fried foods. Well, the other, way to do it is just cut it out entirely and eat the things that, again, on the CDC site, they talk about that. Where are the vegetables in the American diet, and why are we not utilizing that? Two great books that we have in our library. One is The Rave Diet. R-A-V-E, the RAVE diet, and it's an acronym, no refined anything, no animal, no vegetable oil. Olive oil is not a vegetable. It's actually a fruit because it grows on a tree. And then the E stands for no exceptions. That's a great resource, and the CD that comes with it, I should say the DVD that comes with it, was an eye-opener for me, to say the least. And then the other one that I really have enjoyed is The Engine 3 Diet by Rip Esselstein. His father, Dr. Esselstein, out of the Cleveland Clinic, is absolutely amazing in what they've been doing. And one of the statistics that Dr. Esselstein shared years ago, I believe this was on Dr. Oz, he said that his prediction was that in 5 years' time, that if the American population ate more of a heart-healthy diet and got rid of our love affair for especially red meat and pork, but just started going the other direction. He said in 5 years' time, we could eliminate, and this was his prediction, he said we could eliminate all heart disease and heart issues in this country and most types of cancer. And I thought, well, that's a pretty strong statement. But it's true, because when you look at the, what causes it, what feeds into it, you know, diabetes and obesity, and we now tip the scales that 70% of our population is overweight. So anyway, I don't want to deviate, but just some quick solutions that we've discovered for our family. And my wife turned 44 yesterday. I'll be 46 here in a couple weeks. And there's so much we can do on the preventative side to really do it, as well as incorporating, as Ron said, the Neekin nutritionals. And doing that, the jade greenzymes, the immunity, the lactoferrin, the progesterol, as I mentioned, making these a regular part of our daily routine. So anyway, Dr. Ted Lehman is a little bit on the other end of the spectrum. Let's see, I think Ron said he was 68. Well, if we invert those two numbers, we come up to where Ted was last year. And Ted, you're getting ready to turn 88. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to double check. So you're a few years ahead of us here. And you underwent this year a little heart repair. Tell us about that.
That was a small thing. Actually, interesting to hear you, you and Ron talking. It's the thing that came to mind is that one thing you didn't mention very much is things that you were born with, for example. And part of that, when I was thinking as far as the heart is concerned, are so-called congenital abnormalities, things that you were born with. And you know, I think Ron came out of the factory and having a history of coronary artery disease runs in his family, so it's just sort of in the genes.
Ted, could you mind doing something for me? I think we're picking up a little bit of reverb on your phone. Are you on speakerphone? Could you switch it over to handheld?
Sure, I'll do that here.
Let's see if that makes a difference.
Is that better?
There we go. See, I know you, so I can strain a little bit to catch the verbiage, the speakerphone, but I know for the rest of our listeners it'll be easier. Yeah, the hereditary issues are a huge, huge big thing. And as you and I were chatting yesterday, I was reminded of my grandfather on my mom's side. He passed away, finally, of a heart attack. He had had one before. Made some changes in his lifestyle. However, I think that the damage was already done. And avid walker, you know, every day. I remember that was part of his routine. But I felt like I was robbed because I was, I think, 9 or 10 when he passed away. But there's always hereditary issues. That, those are factors we can go. And I know for you that that was the issue for you, being born with a... you know, an issue. And you had that repaired, though, this year.
Yes. This was a mitral valve prolapse. 20% of people have that. The valve and one of the valves in the heart is kind of herniates down into the area, and it doesn't affect many people for a while until they get older, and then everybody has some deterioration, and that's what happened to me. That valve became incompetent, and then I went and did some heart failure. I didn't have a heart attack. You know, I know that, thank the Lord, the good Lord gave me good arteries and blood vessels and so forth. And I've been all my life, not because I have such great discipline, I've been an avid exerciser, I've been a marathoner, you know, I've done all sorts of crazy things that didn't make very much sense. And it came to pass at, 87, when I was a young kid at 87. I wasn't, you know, I'm actually 20 years older than Ron. And about twice as old as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, what happened was that, as time passed, and, you know, I've been sticking to a very good diet based on lots of stuff that I've learned about. I have more education than I have good sense. I don't have good sense, you know.
Is there one thing, Ted, that you would share with people that, as a doctor, as a medical professional, that going down this journey that you've walked, especially this last year, that was one thing that you changed, or one thing that you've implemented, or that you've been doing over the years, that you would say is the big thing that we could be doing to really, really prevent or give our hearts a break?
Well, I guess choose your ancestors differently. You can't do that because, but I think you have to do the best you can with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you look at cars, and cars are, if you get a Lexus, for example, it doesn't really need very much maintenance. It works fine, and you don't have to intervene with different parts and change the parts and change the oil and do all that sort of stuff. And it'll go for a very long time, no matter what you do. You can put all sorts of things into it and abuse it and so forth, and you still come out living for a long time. On the other hand, if you bought a Ford Pinto, for example, it'll work fine, but it'll tend to break down. And if you don't change your parts and change the oil and so forth, it won't last very long. And no matter how vigorously you do things, like Ron was talking about, eating and exercising, taking all the wonderful products that we have in Nican, it'll ultimately come apart, and you can live a lot longer time if you do that. You change the parts and add things to it, and take away things, and that's how I had a 50-year career as a surgeon and a researcher and things like that, doing those things and treating people and so forth and so on. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that you maintenance is very important, and that's what we do, I think, in Nican. We have all these products. On the other hand, as much as you do, life continues to go on, and, the good Lord put us on this earth for some sort of a purpose, and you'll ultimately, leave this world, not according to your own personal wishes, but it's just so what's destined to be. But I think while you're still here, you can do things to prevent these things from happening, and that's, I think, what we do at Nican with this preventive medicine. I'm used to treating people that are sick, and nobody used to come to me when I was a urologist and a surgeon and a because they were well. We talk about that, but nobody ever does it, You can take all these things and, good example of that, I remember years ago, Jim Fix was a famous distance runner. And that's what I've been working on. I've been a marathoner and done all these sort of things. And this guy wrote a book on, and he, very famous, a few years ago, he just suddenly dropped dead of coronary artery disease. So he might have had valvular disease too. Nobody knew about it because you never hear about it until, something happens, and then you have these things. And the same thing is true with other diseases. The word dis-ease means bad ease. There's not a word for ease. There's not you ease. There's stress, which is not necessarily bad for you, and we need a certain amount of stress. But distress, that's what gets you into trouble.
Well, and I know that from the medical profession and several other professions, that stress is a huge part of it, and that's one of the reasons why the five pillars of health and the humans being more philosophy is, because we meet people all the time that are, doing everything they can. Stacy and I were just discussing this yesterday, some dear friends of ours, and they're newly married, and but because of his profession, he's never home. I mean, he lives in a hotel room, and they're in their, what, you think they celebrated their third anniversary, or maybe it was their second. And I thought, man, that just doesn't seem much like a lifestyle, something I'd want to live. How do you start a family if, if the dad's never home? I mean, ever, that kind of stress can really, really take a toll. And these are several things that we can prevent. I remember one of the things, and I don't want to cut you off, Ted. I kept thinking about different people in the medical community that I've read about. And in that book that I mentioned, The Rave, one of the gentlemen who was diagnosed, he was a medical doctor and diagnosed with heart issues, and went to four different specialists. These are colleagues of his, and they all recommended the same thing. They said, you need to have, surgery. You need to get that repaired. You need to do that. And I'm all for when something's broken, you got to fix it. And yet he didn't do that. For a variety of reasons, and the irony of it, three of those four specialists that he went and sought their advice had all passed away of heart disease within 1 year of him being diagnosed with it. And he's as healthy as a horse, and I don't know, where he's at today. This was several years ago, when I first came across the book. But it was the issue of he took matters into his own hands and said, let's go more from the preventative route. Let's see if we can't come at this from a different angle and do some of the things. And so I'm convinced that, as Ron said, and Ted, as you've echoed, that if we really, really focus in on utilizing some of these nutritionals that we've been given and do the little bit of the research, and it's not that, it doesn't take very long at all, just to click on those quick reference sheets and read about them. And I know Roger Drummer has put together what we call the weight management pack, or I would call it the heart healthy pack, with the vital balance and the progesterol, to really go in and give our organs a break. And something that Dr. Ken Howiak has taught us in his book, Bone Health Made Easy, is that the heart relies so much on calcium. And if it doesn't get it, then we're going to have problems. And we can't get that if our, we're doing the things every single day that deplete our bones and our bone marrow and all that stuff. Ron, I want to flip back to you, and I'm watching the clock. I want to be sensitive to people's schedule, but I want to bounce right back to you and ask, real quickly. You recently, I believe, your brother passed away. Was that heart related? Because I didn't ask you.
No, he's been fighting cancer since 06 when he had a kidney removed.
Okay.
And then it went to three or four different places in his body. Then our doctor seems to think he may have had a massive stroke.
Okay.
That finally got him, because his body just shut down, so to speak, and this sudden, this all was so quick, and he wasn't but 61.
Oh, so, wow. Okay. And you had shared with me your sister-in-law, his wife, recently, and this is one of those things that can be prevented, again, as we look at our bone health pack and look at the simplicities of, how a small investment every single month can, again, as Dr. Howiak has gone on record and stated every time I've heard him speak, and that in as little as 3 months, it's almost as if you're guaranteed in 3 months you can turn bone issues around, which again contributes to heart issues. But your sister-in-law, tell us about her little recent episode of falling or jumping off of the deck.
Yeah, she was on the deck behind her house, which is not but 3 feet from the ground, where they had removed the above ground swimming pool after her husband, my brother, died. And she was out there and she was feeling kind of faint and thought she was going to pass out. Well, instead of just kind of sitting down on the deck and seeing what happened, she decided she was going to jump from the deck down to the ground and where the sand is at, where the pool was. Well, when she jumped down, she couldn't stand up. And she later found out after crawling over to the around the side of the house where a neighbor could see her or hear her hollering for help because she's there by herself. When they got to the emergency room, they found out that she had crushed both heels and broke every bone in both feet, even her toes. And for the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, she has been drinking Red Bull, 2 or 3 Red Bulls a day, and drinking Diet Dr. Pepper, no water, and I don't know how many prescriptions she was taking, but she's in a cast now, both feet halfway up her, on her leg, in a wheelchair, and that's only, she can only get around in a wheelchair, and they still gonna have to do some surgery on her feet, later. So she's gonna be laid up for quite a while.
So I wanna ask Dr. Ted, and not to make light of the situation, but, and Ted, this is a very rhetorical question that I know the answer, and I think everybody listening knows as well. This seems to be a really big thing. We were having this conversation with Emily yesterday about the history of caffeinated beverages and carbonated beverages, and it seems to be all the rage in our culture today. And here's my question. Could what Ron just shared about his sister-in-law, could that have been prevented? I mean, eliminated?
Well, the answer I have is a non-answer. I don't really know, but because we don't know really what causes some of these things. Some of it's congenital, as I said. You have a tendency that it, no matter what you do, you will have coronary artery disease or even cancer for that matter. And so what I think we need to be aware of, especially as NECAN consultants, is that it may not be the products that we provide. I mean, they work really, I'm all for them. I've been in NECAN for as long as you have, Vance. And, but I know that, something's happened, and, we recommend something and we don't really know what's really going on. It may be the wrong thing. It's good to do it, but it may leave out other things that is going on with inside the person that we don't know about. You know, for example, I've had the occasion to hear from people who have something I used to think I knew about had to do with cancer, especially prostatic cancer. And I heard an anecdote that somebody whose father had prostatic cancer, and he was taking pie water. That's when it came out, and his markers, his PSA went down, and I thought it was great. And I started getting calls from people all over the country who knew I was a urologist about what should they take this stuff. And I didn't understand why that was true. I don't like to make recommendations for people that I don't know what's going on. And anyway, I found out that even though this chap's father got better, I called up the guy that told me about it, and I said, "I don't understand. Did your father take anything else?" And he said, "Well, I think so. And it turned out that he was taking a drug that, was a conventional treatment at the time that took away all the male hormones. And he didn't, so he thought that the pie water made the big change. Well, maybe it didn't make a change, but he left out some important things that,
right.
And that's, I think that's a risk that we have to, we shouldn't do as consultants and recommend progesterone and all sorts of things for prevention of heart disease, which is good. But there's other things that that you need to know about. And going back to what I started out talking about, congenital anomalies.
And I think that's the big thing. And if we can, you know, kind of wind up our conversation here, I think that's the biggest thing that is, and I appreciate you bringing it up, that if we consult our physicians, we consult our doctor, and I think that what I'm seeing more and more today and hearing more and more stories is doctors that are saying, well, tell me what you're doing before, so I know, and then let's take a look at this, and whether there's an MRI or a CAT scan or whatever, and they find out, and they do the stress test and everything. And I think of Phil Offerley, who prevented or delayed, he had thought he was having, you know, indigestion, and then what he was actually having was a massive heart attack. And it wasn't until the next day that he finally went in. And then if you want to hear the whole story, go back and listen to that conversation we had with him a few months ago. But he had used so much of the real salt, and he's such an advocate for it. The doctor said, your electrolyte levels are so high. We've never seen anybody with electrolyte, you know, levels this high. And the trace minerals, definitely. So, Ted, I so appreciate what you shared and what, you know, Ron has shared, because this is, it's just all part of the educational process. That if we take these things and we put them into place and go, no, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And most of us, I think, are smart enough. Most human beings are smart enough to know that, you know, drinking and 2 to 3 Red Bulls a day and an overconsumption, you know, if it's of anything, if it's not natural, if it's not real food or real liquid, something that, you know, is put on the earth, you know, maybe, just maybe we shouldn't be partaking of it in an abusive rate the way we are. And just common sense medicine. And I got introduced to a young lady yesterday who's dealing with some issues, and I said, well, how open? And she said, I am so open to hearing what Niken can do to help me, because what I'm doing right now is just not working. And I think that's the approach we need to take. So anyways, I know there's so much more we can get into on this subject, but I think this has been valuable. At least I hope it's been valuable for those of us who are listening, and maybe some of us are going, well, yeah, I kind of already knew that. Well, it's just a great reminder. But again, I want to encourage you, as Ron has shared and as Dr. Ted has shared, do your own homework, and really look up some of this stuff. And please do not, I'm begging you, do not take what I've shared about the progesterol as that it's the cure-all for everything. What I will say, based on the people that I've talked to, the people that I've heard their stories, either audibly or in person, or seen them in print, they've typed them up and emailed them to me, it's a huge, huge factor that can help offset. But as Roger Drummer has stated over and over and over, we need to make changes. You can't just expect one thing, whether it's an increase of, you know, PIMAG water, as Dr. Ted alluded to with this gentleman with prostate cancer, I remember that story back from 2002, so 12 years ago. There's always other factors. We can't expect things to happen overnight, but sometimes they do happen rather quickly. I think that's it. So, Ron Jennings, thank you so much. Dr. Ted Lehman, thank you both for sharing on this subject. And if you missed part of the call, or if you think this would be helpful for somebody, the website for these recordings is www.saturdayamlive.com. Again, that's www.saturdayamlive.com. And appreciate what both of you have shared and contributed. And so check it out. All the information for all the different Nikan solutions, and I think the biggest one, again, as I mentioned, for progesterol. There is some confusion out there because people think that grapefruit juice can contribute or contradict or complicate certain blood pressure medications. Really, 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 I heard about this a couple weeks ago because I mentioned it tastes like grapefruit juice, but it's not grapefruit juice. It's made out of the bitter orange. It's a totally different thing. Again, read the information. And if in question, if you're talking to somebody who's got blood pressure issues and they're overly concerned, print the information on the quick reference sheet or the quick reference flyer. Have the person take it into their medical personnel and let them make that decision. And it's just that simple, because get some more people contributing to the advice of that. So anyways, that's all for today, folks. Thank you for giving of your time. I'm going to bid you all farewell and sign off on this one. And you hang tight. I do have some announcements, and we'll jump right into that. So have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you again, Ron and Ted.
Welcome to Saturday AM Live with Vance Roger.